Hi, I'm Jessica Marpey, welcoming you to this live event. I'd like to thank everyone for taking time this evening to join us on this telephone town hall. Before I introduce State Senator Lindsey Williams, we're still waiting for some more neighbors to join us on this call. We have a very informative hour ahead. We will be joined by Cheryl Moon Sirianni from PennDOT District 11. She, along with Senator Williams, will take your calls regarding PennDOT and transportation-related issues in western Pennsylvania. From investing in public transit to making sure we provide safe roads and sidewalks or even bike paths and pedestrian safety, we hope you will join the discussion. As a reminder, if you have a question, please press zero on your keypad to participate. Again, if you'd like to submit a question in tonight's discussion, press zero on your keypad to speak to an operator and join the queue. We will have call screeners available to take down your name and neighborhood and your question. Again, we are waiting for some of the constituents of the 38th Senatorial District, which covers parts of Allegheny County, to join us on tonight's live telephone town hall. If you'd like to submit a question while you wait, please press zero on your keypad to speak to a screener, and they will take down your name, neighborhood, and your question. Now, I'll pass it to State Senator Lindsey Williams to kick off tonight's telephone town hall.
Thank you, Jessica. Good evening, everyone. This is State Senator Lindsey Williams. Welcome to this telephone town hall for my friends and neighbors within the 38th Senate District. I would like to thank everyone who is taking time out of their busy schedule to participate on tonight's call. Whether you ask a question or just prefer to listen to the conversation, I appreciate your engagement. If you'd like to ask a question at any time during tonight's discussion, please press zero on your phone. It's so important that those who live in our community understand what is happening locally. It is equally important to share your thoughts on how our area is changing and how we can become involved. That's my hope for our conversation tonight, that we share ideas and communicate openly and kindly, that we can, this can only help us work and live together. So as Jessica said, tonight we'll discuss transportation issues facing the greater Pittsburgh area, as well as Pennsylvania as a whole. Pennsylvania is set to receive over $1.63 billion, with a B, in federal funds over the next 5 years to help fix our distressed bridges. We're all aware of the tragic collapse at Fern Hollow Bridge in Frick Park. Pennsylvania has second most bridges in fair or poor condition in the country. This money, along with money collected from the gas tax, will help address some of the needs in our region, but there is much more to be done. In fact, when I talk to constituents, there are two big groups of things that I hear from the most: unemployment and transportation. And when I hear about transportation, I define that as broad as I think you might too: road safety, public transit, walking and biking paths, traffic calming, sidewalks, roads and bridges. All of that is in transportation. So I can't talk about all of that by myself. So to help me with this discussion, I invited my friend Cheryl Moon Sirianni, who's the executive at PennDOT District 11. And Cheryl and I have worked together over the last 3 years. She has, you know, been extremely communicative, and every time that I call her, she does her best to address the concern raised by constituents. And together, Cheryl and I have toured landslides, dangerous intersections, and now we have this opportunity to talk together about these wide-ranging issues. So thank you, Cheryl, for joining us. I'd like just give you a minute to say hello and introduce yourself.
Thanks, Senator. Yeah, I'm pleased to be an invitee to this meeting this evening. My name is Cheryl Moon Sirianni. I've been with PennDOT District 11 for over 35 and a half years, so I'm pretty familiar with what's going on in the area. Worked a lot up in your neck of the woods because I lived in from the North Hills area, so pretty familiar with what's going on. Please answer any questions, give you a heads up on the infrastructure bill that we are extremely excited about. But we still have a lot of needs, as I think you're all well aware of. So, you know, any questions you may have, I can't probably answer all of them, but I have a little notepad here, and I will get back to the senator with any answers I can't provide.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. We're going to start with some of the questions that were submitted in advance as we are waiting for questions to be submitted. Just a friendly reminder, if you'd like to ask a question at any time, just press zero on your phone. So our first question that was pre-submitted is, what is being done to find ideas for replacing the gas tax revenue given the rapidly approaching future of electric vehicles? So that's a really great question to start off on. So both increasing electric vehicles and the fact that Act 89, which implemented our gas tax, is getting ready to sunset or expire, we are faced with that very big question. There is a Transportation Revenue Options Commission that was funded, that was founded or started about a year ago today, actually. And that commission is looking at what other states are doing. We've seen other states take on a fee for electric vehicles. We've seen proposals of like road usage, like mileage based for users, also charging different amounts for different vehicles. One of the things in the federal transportation bill that is so exciting is funding for electric vehicle infrastructure. So I think we are going to see more electric vehicles than we have right now. And one of the good things about putting this infrastructure in with rising gas prices, you know, people are looking for alternatives, and also installing those charging stations are good paying union jobs done by IBEW workers. So it is beneficial on all sorts of ends. And we have a lot of ways to go to talk about how we replace that revenue. Cheryl, did you want to talk a little bit about what your experience has been in like thinking about those issues and the gas tax revenue?
Well, honestly, Senator, you kind of hit all the high points. I mean, the TROC committee was essentially created to look at other opportunities for electric vehicles. But I will tell you, it is something that needs to be addressed, because right now with gas prices and what they are, in my career, they fluctuate up and down many times. It's hard to plan for the future when you aren't sure of what your revenue is coming in. And the revenue, the pandemic taught us that the revenue is not something that you can rely on to be the same year after year. So there, you really do have to look at other opportunities. The road user, it's called mileage-based user fees, where you pay by the mile that you drive, is a wonderful concept. It seems to be the most fair concept. The problem is, in a state like Pennsylvania, where you have so many pass-through truck traffic, they would probably not pay that cost, because they would probably pay it based out of the state they were in. So there's a lot of ways that all of the states need to come together and look at opportunities to initiate and implement some of these ideas. The package fee was another one that came up, where there would be a fee on the packages that are delivered to your home, a nominal fee, and that would go towards the infrastructure improvements. And the reason for that is most of the, I don't want to say damage, but the damage that occurs to the road is due to larger trucks more so than passenger vehicles. So that is something that was also looked at. And furthermore, I mean, we all like to enjoy, you know, the electric vehicles, the bicycles, but building bike paths is also not something that is cheap either. So there's an option to just, you know, put a small fee on bicycles. And not that that would, they do much damage to the roadways, but just so that you can build more infrastructure for them as they are another viable transportation mode. So there's all those things that are being discussed about, Senator, as you're familiar, and we'll look to see which ones can advance, you know, quickly and bring the rest, bring revenue without inconveniencing and impacting the traveling public.
Thank you, Cheryl. And what you said about biking paths sort of leads into the next question that we have, which is, what are PennDOT or legislative plans to provide implementation for alternative transportation opportunities, for example, walking and bike paths? How can communities develop sidewalks and safe biking paths for connectivity to mass transportation, schools, senior citizen communities, and physically challenged residents? Also, please provide information on mass transportation initiative, which our state sorely needs. Florida just developed a super fast train system for part of the state. How is Pennsylvania going to develop our infrastructure to meet the demands of this century. I don't know, Cheryl, do you want to go first since I stole some of your thunder the first time?
You might want to take this one first, only because okay. I am not the transit expert. I'm more the other modes of transportation is what we deal with at PennDOT.
All right, so I'll start it off. So I think everyone, I hear about it all the time, everybody does want more connectivity. They want to be able to easily get around. It's part of what is enticing people to move to Allegheny County, to stay in Allegheny County. It's a part of our economic development future is making sure that we are more connective. I hear a lot about safe and accessible sidewalks. In fact, I walked a particular dangerous intersection with a constituent who had a special needs son, so she can show me actually how inaccessible the intersection was and how dangerous it was. And while she was showing me, the two of us almost got hit by a car. She was 100% correct. But one of the struggles with many of these projects, and I know Cheryl knows this, is that they are often the mix of multiple people at the table. So it's, you know, sometimes it's the intersection of a PennDOT road with a local municipality road or a county road, and all of those entities need to work together. And so one of the things that I try to do in my role as state senator is bring everybody to the table to get them all in one room and talk about how we can solve that problem. And, you know, PennDOT was there and the township was there and I was there that day walking that intersection. And we've spent time since trying to figure out how do we fix it? How do we make it more accessible? And that one of those things is, you know, using grant dollars, federal, state grant dollars for those projects. And those types of projects are ones that I like to prioritize about how can we serve the public and how can we get money towards these projects? Because as Cheryl said, these projects can still be very expensive, even if it's not fixing a road or a bridge. That pathway, that sidewalk, can still be a rather expensive thing that go for. The other part of the question was mass transportation. I hear about that as well, all the time. When we didn't have as much investment from the federal government and other places, for example, the Allegheny County Port Authority cut a bunch of bus routes years ago, and the most bus routes that they cut were in Senate District 38. I've seen the map. I've sat down and looked at the map of the bus routes that were cut in my district. One of them that we were able to work on was and get restored was a connection to CCAC North. And so that is connecting people to education. The other one that we're still working to restore is the one that would connect up to Natrona Heights and Allegheny Valley Hospital. And that is a connection to available health care. And beds and jobs for people. So those are things that, you know, we are absolutely working on and focused. So I just want to remind people that we are talking about transportation issues today. And if you have a question, please press 0 if you'd like to ask your question and stay on the line and we'll do our best to get to it. So with that, Cheryl, would you like to chime in on any of that?
Certainly. Thank you, Senator. I think some of the things to keep in mind is the projects that get funded for any of the multimodal funds, any of the transportation enhancement funds for trails, for these other multimodal facilities are normally the ones that are pretty far along in the process. And if someone has actually made a plan, thought it through, and developed the preliminary engineering, because then the folks that are handing out the money are pretty comfortable providing funds to those municipalities and organizations because they know the projects will get to the finish line. So ones that have put a lot of thought behind them have a good plan, have a, at least a good preliminary design, are the ones that seem to be able to move quickly. So the municipalities that have these master plans, master multimodal plans, I think are ahead of the game and are the ones that are most apt to get funding. Something to keep in mind, though, people forget, the cost of the sidewalk itself is relatively cheap. What costs money in most of these cases is the fact that many of these sidewalks are along a roadway or through very developed areas, because that's obviously where people want to walk. But the many of these areas are littered with utilities, overhead utilities, underground utilities that have no place else to go. So you really can't easily move, you know, these traffic signal poles that have three or four or six different utilities on them. In addition, purchasing the right-of-way to place the sidewalks on a road like a McKnight Road or one of these roads, you know, Route 8, is very expensive and very complicated due to all the development. So anytime somebody could buy right-of-way ahead of time for any of these facilities, that also helps you advance them to the finish line. So that's kind of what we work on when we're looking to try to add sidewalks, trails, anything like that to our transportation network.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. Next, we're going to go to one of our live callers, Michael, from O'Hara Township, who has a question.
Great. Michael, you're live with the Senator.
Hi, Senator. Thanks for having our conference today. Two parts. We're looking at mass transit into the Oakland corridor. It's just getting worse and worse every day as our education and medical centers grow, and especially from the Aspinwall area. And the other thing is the general state of the litter along our highways, county, state, local, city, Route 8, Route 28. The litter is just really horrendous. And honestly, when you travel to other states and you come into these areas, it just is not helping our general image. Thank you.
Thank you for that question, Michael. Those are two very important issues. First, I know that Pittsburgh City Council recently approved $12.8 million for bus rapid transit that would be used specifically in the Oakland corridor to help with that, because you're right, we want to make sure that people have the ability to get on the bus, get to work or wherever safely and quickly and easily. And on the respect to the litter, Cheryl and I have talked about this a lot actually recently. We have some constituents in McCandless Township who are very passionate about litter. And the governor just put out a litter task force report that talks about some suggestions of ways we can curb litter. One of them being maybe there's an opportunity for some legislation to put more ownership on the manufacturers that create the litter, and possibly how we can more effectively manage it within the department. Cheryl, do you want to talk a little bit about what PennDOT does and how complicated it is to keep up with the litter that happens in our communities?
Yeah, and I agree with Michael 150%. I hate it. I don't understand why people litter. It is a disgusting. It's just a disgusting habit people have, but it continues to happen. A lot of the litter we have is actually a result of trucks that aren't covered. You know, work trucks and garbage trucks that don't have the required coverings on them. If you look at any one time, you could probably find 10 buckets, you know, work type buckets laying along 279. It is really disturbing to us, and it costs you all as taxpayers lots and lots of money, millions of dollars a year to pick up litter. I just saw today, I saw an entire crew out on 376 picking up litter, and I don't even want to tell you the cost the amount that it costs for our crews to be doing that, especially when I would like them to be out filling some potholes or doing some other more longer lasting work. Honestly, they can start at one end of an interchange, and by the time they get to the other interchange, it's already full of litter again. The governor does have a task force that he's trying to work collectively with the other agencies, the Department of Environmental Protection, the DCNR, the Department of Natural Resources. So we're trying to work collectively along with the state police and the local police to try to catch some of the folks that are the offenders, but it's hard. It's really hard. They're looking at instituting a much, I don't know if you remember, I'm probably dating myself, but back in the day, they used to show, there used to be a lot of education on not littering. There was an Indian that there was in a commercial years ago that they would show doing that. But, you know, obviously looking for opportunities to hit, you know, educate folks on why they shouldn't be littering. Like I said, it's really disturbing. I will tell you, it's not just a Pennsylvania thing, though. People say they come from other states and it's so much better, and it's not. I just came from Ohio into Pennsylvania, and it's just as bad. The polluters are, it's not a Pennsylvania-only thing. What we do struggle with, though, in Pennsylvania is there's different responsibilities. PennDOT really is responsible for picking up the litter along the interstates, but a lot of the local roads, we only manage, maintain from curb to curb or outside of shoulder to the roadway surface. And a lot of that does fall on a municipality, and they don't have the folks to pick up litter every day also. So we try to keep up with it as best as we can, but I am also appalled by it. I also wish our interstates didn't look like they did. And after coming out of the winter, it looks even worse because everything has been buried under snow. So we're trying to get out there. We have crews, multiple times a week pick up litter. We have people do large sweeps to pick up the tires and everything else in the median, but we honestly can't keep up with it. So we're hoping the education and the other options that the governor's task force is throwing out may help. So I'd have to agree.
I agree. I'm looking forward to working with the task force and the report to implement some of these changes. And I know I'd encourage you to get involved in your local community too. I've gone on a couple of litter pickups, one in Aetna Sharpsburg, one in McCandless. I think there's another one coming up soon in McCandless. And I think Aetna and Sharpsburg might be doing theirs again. They've done it on Earth Day and had a little friendly competition between municipalities to see who could pick up the most stuff, and myself and Senator Fontana and Representative Inamorato got to judge the winner. So that was a lot of fun. So if there's an opportunity in your community, I would encourage you to get involved. And on my email list, we always send out notifications of those sorts of things to help educate people about the pickup opportunities in their district. Next, I'd like to go to another live question, which is Robert from Pittsburgh, from Byerstown. Go ahead, Robert.
Great. Before we hear from Robert, just a reminder to everybody on the call, if you'd like to participate in the discussion and submit a question, you can press 0 on your keypad. That's 0 on your keypad to submit a question. And now, Robert, you are live.
Yeah, hello. Thanks for taking my question. I live on Guyer Road, a short road in Shaler Township, and recently they closed the road down for a month to do stormwater management, and the road is actually worse now. They put a catch basin in that is above grade. I don't know how that's supposed to catch water, but there's water running across the road constantly, and we heard that they have a proposal in Reserve Township to build 40 townhouses. We get flooded down here all the time. I don't think 40 townhouses on top of the hill is going to help. Is there anything you can do about this?
Thank you, Robert, for that question. That's really important. We talk about that a lot, that what happens upstream, it impacts downstream, and making sure that we think about that when we're doing new development or redeveloping spaces. I'm not as familiar particularly with this Guyer Road, but we hear a lot about, and I do know that Shaler Police are reporting that, you know, it was closed due to a clogged catch basin, and we hear about this a lot. The maintenance of our stormwater infrastructure and clearing out catch basins and working with our municipalities to get this done is, you know, an important thing to do, and it's challenging. And Shaler has been working and trying to be as proactive as possible to get investment in form of grants and things like that, working with my office to improve the stormwater management in the municipality. So that is something that I am working on with the municipality, is what can we do to get to combine the resources in Shaler with state resources to manage these really difficult stormwater issues that then end up leading towards more flooding. I know, Cheryl, you and I have talked a fair amount about stormwater and catch basins and cleaning them out. Do you have some stuff to add?
Yeah, I'm not sure, and I apologize for not knowing if Dyer Road is a state or Shaler maintained roadway. I'll look that up and investigate that further. But I will tell you, I literally was just in a meeting yesterday. I think what folks don't understand a lot is that where the problems occur with drainage is normally not where they start from and not the cause of it. So what we're trying to do is get some multi-municipal work done. So that, like you just mentioned, the drainage in Reserve Township is going to cause problems in Shaler Township. So what can we collectively do to get all the municipalities together to start stopping the water in Reserve before it would get to Shaler and become Shaler's issue? So that's not, we're looking at that. We have 50, 60 years of development that we're trying to clean up from. So we struggle with that quite a bit. The problem is, too, a lot of the catch basins that you say are on the PennDOT roads, but the drainage is from, the drainage that comes from the roadway is minimal. A lot of times it's like a small percentage compared to what is coming from all the development that is occurring above. So we're continuing to work with the municipalities to make sure they're requiring stormwater systems, retention ponds, detention ponds. I know we're working with the senator right now and some of the other local elected officials on tanning pipes. We have a bigger project and we're actually bringing in the congressman to look at flooding as a whole and the drainage problems as a whole. But, we continue to urge our local municipalities to ensure that any development that's being done, they are capturing as much and retaining as much water so it isn't reaching your house, our road. It's terrible in the wintertime, and some of the roads don't have a lot of proper drainage. So we're also, when we come through with paving projects, we try to update the drainage as much as we can. The problem is it doesn't always have a lot of places to go. So drainage is our biggest issue. Obviously, when the drainage isn't working, then the roads are going to fail, and there's safety concerns. So I will look at this Dyer Road issue. I think that part might be maintained by PennDOT, and see if there's something we can do to fix that. But I would also urge, the senator and folks to work with Reserve to make sure that that new development is going to retain all of the water that will be coming off of that development.
Thank you, Cheryl. And Robert, please give my office a call, 412-364-0469, and we'll come out and we'll look at it and we'll see what we can do. Like Cheryl said, we'll put our heads together. So thank you so much for calling. And that goes for anybody on the call who's listening who has specific questions or things they'd like me to see in their community. Just don't hesitate to reach out to my office. We love going out and walking around our community and seeing those problems. So thank you so much for calling, Robert. Let's go to the next question. Is Jeff from Tarentum.
Hey, Jeff, you're live with the senator.
Hi. I live in Tarentum, and I was just wondering if there has been any progress made about rail service to this northeastern corner of Allegheny County, which seems to be forgotten about a lot of the time.
Yeah. Thanks for your question, Jeff. And I agree. I And I love the Upper Allegheny Valley. I made sure to put an office up there because I don't want you all to feel forgotten. If you haven't stopped by, please stop by our office in the Heights Plaza right next to J&S Pizza. But the rail expansion and also using existing rails is very difficult. The railroad companies I like to say all the time, they had the best lawyers back in the day. They are sometimes some of the most difficult to work with to share their lines to either expand for passenger use, or what I, you know, run across most frequently is the using the trails alongside the rail line. So whether it's being talking about how we can use mass transit cars that may not fit on the existing rails and we need to do some infrastructure updates, or whether we're talking about, you know, walking and biking trail connection along the railroad, it's really complicated. And it's been very frustrating over the last couple of years where community members like yourself have come to my office. I'm sure I've talked to Cheryl. I've talked to the county about projects and things they want to see that use the rail, that touch the rail line, getting stymied. So I wish I had a better answer for you, Jeff, other than I'm as equally frustrated in the lack of progress there. Cheryl, did you have anything you'd like to add?
Not really. I've actually been working, you know, that's really not our thing. I mean, that
your
would not be
neck really, of the woods. Yeah,
it's not. I would agree. You know, the railroads are pretty powerful, but I do understand the safety aspects of that. Sharing a rail line is something that brings them a lot of concern, and I know they're looking at opportunities to possibly share some rail lines with Norfolk Southern. That's not the owner of this particular line, but with Amtrak across the state. But I when I was listening to the coordination that has to take place between carrying you know, goods and supplies and people, it was quite interesting to me, all the machinations and safety precautions that have to go into play. But that's really not my area, Senator. But I do want to go back to Robert real quick and
Sure. Let
Robert know that is a state road. I am looking into it right now. We did make some drainage repairs. I'm guessing what happened is they made the drainage repairs in January before you could actually get hot asphalt, and they probably just patched it, and it's not looking the greatest, and I'm hoping that we come back out and fix it. But our assistant district executive for maintenance, Lord Musto, is actually looking into it as we speak on your behalf, Senator, and Robert, so hopefully we can get you some answers on that.
Well, thank you, Cheryl. And see, I don't know if any of you who are on right now were on in the beginning, and I didn't lie when I said Cheryl does her best to quickly address issues. She addressed that issue while we were on the phone. So we'll get to work together with her and see what we can accomplish. So thank you, Cheryl. Thank you, Robert, for your question and bringing it to our attention. I'm going to switch to a pre-submitted question that kind of goes along that safety thing that we were just talking about. The question is, many states post state police cruisers with their lights on at the entrance to dangerous work zones. Given ever-increasing number of crashes on Route 28 in the Highland Park construction zone, wouldn't this be a good idea? I think it would. I have, not only is it just unsafe, I have some very strong personal feelings about safety in construction zones. My dad is a retired operating engineer, local 542, so he is on a lot of road construction projects. And one of the bills we passed recently was the slow down, move over bill, which requires that you slow down and move over for emergency vehicles to, you know, build onto the slowing down in construction zones and increase penalties for that and for construction zones. My dad, when I was younger, was working on a road construction site, I believe on the northeast extension of the turnpike in northeastern Pennsylvania. And a car wasn't paying attention, came flying through the construction zone, hit another vehicle, crashed, and my dad and another construction worker had to pull the driver out of the vehicle, and they did so successfully, you know, 30 seconds before it exploded. And they are very lucky that no one died, and I think we see time and time again people speeding through construction zones and killing or injuring workers, killing or injuring other drivers. It's very serious, and I would absolutely support some more coverage there. I mean, not too long ago, a Ross Westview EMS worker nearly got killed responding to a crash, and I saw one on the news just not too long ago for another department around here that they were responding to a crash, I believe on 28, and their emergency vehicle got hit. So this is a very serious, very dangerous situation. And I know, Cheryl, you probably deal with that a lot, trying to make sure that your construction zones are as safe as possible.
Well, of course, these are my friends. These are my family members. These are your friends and family members. That is our utmost priority. I guess the person that submitted the question doesn't realize that we do. We actually pay a very nice sum to have the state police at our sites, at our queues, on our projects like Route 28, Route 79. We've also instituted the automated work zone speed enforcement. I know some folks aren't a fan of that. I will tell you, I'm a huge fan of it. It's working. It's to prohibit people from going above the speed limit through work zones. I will tell you, the folks that have gotten warnings and gotten tickets have slowed down. They understand the importance now of going slow through the work zones. There's been a lot of studies done in the fact that if you're going, you know, 35 or 45 versus 70, what would happen if you actually, you know, hit a barrier or hit a parked car or, a person is the last thing we ever want to be hit. We don't want them to be hit at any speed. But you can keep way better control of your car if you're going at a lower speed. So, that automated work zone speed enforcement will probably be stationed on 28. We have a lot of work on 28 this year. I mentioned it yesterday in a media event. We actually will be working on 28 from the Russellton exit the whole way past the Highland Park Bridge. So I would hope people will slow down and keep their speeds when our folks are working out there. The other problem is we have to work a lot at night on roads like that because of the amount of traffic in the daytime, and it's even worse. We have folks that have drinking and driving and distracted driving, and we're trying to battle all that while trying to get work done. So we do have a lot of police. We utilize them quite a bit on those highways. I wish we could use more, but we do pay for them, but there's only so many of the state police out there too, and they're great friends of PennDOT, and they try to protect our workers as much as they can by their presence being there. But it's all in the drivers, that we really need the drivers to pay more attention and to slow down through all of our work zones. It's a huge pet peeve of mine. I don't want to see anybody hurt ever. One person getting hurt is too many.
Thank you, Cheryl. And you're 100% right about, those cameras really slowing down traffic. I mean, I'm on the turnpike all the time. I was on it just today, I was on it yesterday, and there's a large construction section prior to Somerset, I think it is, and they have the big camera, they have the automated camera, work zone, speed enforcement, and I have driven that same construction area many times before that vehicle was there, and people were just flying through that construction zone. Now that that vehicle is there, and it's there very frequently, and people now know it, people get to that construction zone and they slow right down, and it's so much safer. And at the end of the day, we want these construction projects done. We want to make our roads safer, but we want to make sure that we protect the workers who are doing those construction projects. Because like Cheryl said, there are friends, there are neighbors, there are family, and we don't want to see them hurt. So we're getting close to time, so I wanted to talk about some upcoming events that my district office is holding. So if you'd like to join, on March 21st, we're kicking off Senate District 38, the Parks Tour. A fun fact, in Senate District 38, we have the oldest park, the newest park, the smallest park, and the largest park. So we're going to do a little walk around some of our parks to see what wonderful amenities we have in our community and what we can do to keep them and improve them. On April 14th, we're having a webinar on energy efficiency and appliance standards, help you keep down those high energy bills as everybody is struggling with, you know, rising costs right now. That might be some help to you. On April 20th, we are doing Demystifying Harrisburg, so giving you some tips and tools on how to lobby your legislators about issues that you care about, whether it be transportation or unemployment or litter or whatever you got. This give you some tips on how to talk to your legislators about those issues. April 22nd, we have a Mature Driver Improvement course where it's for age 55 and older. You take this course and you get a discount on your car insurance. And April 25th, another park tour and trout stocking, which is so much fun. I love stocking trout. And so far, I have not fallen in the river or the lake, so I'm going to knock on wood right now, and hopefully I don't. And May 7th, always a fan favorite, we have a free shredding event at the Roth Municipal Building. So there's just a couple things that I am working on. This has been a really great discussion. Again, Cheryl, thank you so much for joining us, for, you know, lending your expertise, for jumping on an issue that was raised right now, like tonight, about a stormwater infrastructure. So thank you so much for joining us, Cheryl. Thank you all for participating in our telephone town hall. For those of you who haven't had a chance to get your question answered, please remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me and for Cheryl, and we'll get back to you with a response. Thank you again. If you have any additional questions or concerns, please call my office at 412-364-0469 or visit my website at SenatorLindseyWilliams.com. Thank you again and good night.
Thank you, everyone, for participating. As another reminder, if you didn't have a chance to ask a question, you can remain on the line, and you can leave your question for the Senator and Cheryl. Thank you again for joining us tonight, and have a wonderful evening.